chapter, part of the first verse. Revelation chapter 1, starting at the 17th verse. If you have your Bible, why don't you stand with me? I didn't put the scripture on the PowerPoint, not this one. And let's read the word of the Lord. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou saw in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. And we're going to stop right there. I'm going to ask Brother Rod to come up. Would you pray and ask the blessing of the Lord upon the preaching of the word? Amen. With the help of the Lord, I'm going to preach to you a message to the seven churches. This is going to be, I think, the first part. So God bless you, Brother Rod.
Bow heads as we get ready to pray for the service. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for the service. We want to thank you for the message today. We want to thank you for the fact that we're going to eat. We open up our mind and our understanding. We want to thank you. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.
Praise God. If you'll say in Jesus' name, you can be seated. Of course, we look at this in the second and the third chapter. We talk about the seven church. The Bible talks about the seven churches in the book of Revelations. And let's look at just a few facts about the seven churches. Number one, they held to the teachings of the apostles. As we're going to see in a little while in this teaching, preaching, that there was a schism after the apostles died. The apostle Peter prophesied of this, telling us some things which were to come. And not everything that you see today that calls itself a church is a church in the sense of what the apostles had. They don't hold to the apostolic doctrine. Amen. An example of that, many churches do not even believe you need the Holy Ghost today. They don't believe in speaking in tongues. They don't believe in baptism in Jesus' name. These are all doctrines that you find that the apostles preached in the book of Acts. So they held, the seven churches were not churches that didn't preach truth. If you're familiar with the book of John, chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, the word of the Lord says that God seeks those to worship him that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And if you think about that terminology, spirit and truth, you find that gives you four possibilities of how to worship God. The first possibility, of course, is spirit and truth. The second possibility is no spirit with truth. The third possibility is no truth with spirit. And the fourth possibility is no spirit and no truth. According to the scripture in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, only one of those ways was acceptable to God, was that they worshiped him in spirit and in truth. Amen. You've got to have the whole thing. You just can't have part of it. You just can't have a little bit of it. You've got to have the whole thing in order to be pleasing to the Lord. And that's what the scripture said in John 4, 23 and 24, is that the Father seeks those to worship him, seeketh such to worship him. The second fact about the seven churches is that they existed at the same time. Now, I understand that there are different teachings on this, and that some people teach that there are seven church ages, that the first age, of course, was revival. And now we're in what I term the latter splatter, and you can't have revival, you can't have nothing, because we're in the age of Laodicea. But we don't find that as an example of the seven churches. We find that in the day that this was written, we find that they existed all at the same time, and not only did they exist all at the same time, that they had issues. They were preaching truth, yet they had issues. that they had to deal with. It's not that they weren't churches that preached truth. They were preaching the truth, but they were letting things happen in their churches that were not to be so. We're not going to get into that part today, but we're going to look into some other things. Amen. Number three, 5 out of the 7 churches were in danger of judgment. Now, to the church, I believe it was Sardis. I may be wrong, but sometimes I'm getting old and I forget things. But one of them, the Lord said, he came to the church, he told them, he says, you're going to suffer persecution. Some of you are going to die. But if you'll hang on, you're going to reap eternity out of this. How would you feel today if the Holy Ghost came today and said that, you know what, if you're going to keep serving me, some of you are going to die? It probably would ruin our service. We'd be like, well, how could that be? What kind of great, you know, horror is that going to happen? But these people hung on to the Lord. There was 2 churches out of the 7 that had the favor of God upon them. One was the persecuted church, and the second one was the church of Philadelphia, which was the revival church that he had said that he was going to set an open door for. Now, like I said, I'm not going to dwell on those a whole lot today. We're going to be, the Lord's been talking to me about preaching on the 7 churches. We're going to continue this next week. But number four, and this is a very important thing, and I'm kind of controlling everything from up here today. Got some neat toys that we can do this with. Now, you got to understand something. Revival and apostasy can exist at the same time. Amen? It can exist at the same, and it can exist in churches that preach truth. Amen. You may not understand that. But at the same time, and I'm not talking about in the same church. I'm talking about churches can coexist. There could be a church. Let's say the favor of the Lord is on us, and we are the church in Philadelphia, the church that he set an open door to. Another church could exist in the same hour as which we live. That would be the church that tolerated the spirit of Jezebel, the Laodiceans. It can happen at the same time. It seems to indicate that there are more problems than there is revival. But even in those churches, you can be saved. And that's why I told you that these are not churches that don't preach the apostolic doctrine. They're teaching the truth that's found in the Word of God. Yet there are those that are going to be lost in those churches. Amen. The next one, number 5, and this is a very important one for us today, is they serve as a warning for us. They serve as a warning for us. God doesn't put anything in the Word of the Lord that does not have a meaning. Even the smallest little thing, if you will study it out, you will find God has a purpose for putting these things in there. Amen. And these churches, the things that they went through, will actually happen today. If you look into them, it's actually going to be things that can happen today. Maybe not the same exact, but the same spirit is going to be manifested today. Number 6, the pastors or the angels would be judged. Now, when he said, I'm writing to the church, the angels of the church of Ephesus, I did a little bit of, and all of them, it all starts out the same way. Here, the first one, I'm writing to Ephesus, I'm writing to Thyatira, the angel, the 7 angels he talked about. And I did a little bit of studying on this, and Revelations 2:1 starts out, to the angel, to the messenger of the assembly of the church in Ephesus, write. The angel of the church, and this is according to strong systematic theology, is best interpreted as meaning the pastor of the church. And it's clear because of this that the church had one pastor, not many. Of course, we believe and we teach that we can have a multitude of ministries. We can have assistant pastors. We can have associate pastors and so on and so forth. But ultimately, there's one person that God's going to hold accountable for what happens. And in this case, and here in this church, that's going to be me. Doesn't belittle anybody else's ministry. And I want to commend Brother Rick. Last week preached a tremendous message. I actually, I didn't copy it because I knew he talks low into the microphone. So I just, it's burning right now. I did adjustments on it and made it so we can actually hear him good. And I'm going to be printing off some after service along with today's service. So let me commend him for the preaching of the word last week. Amen. A plural eldership now is natural and advantageous, and we have sort of a plural eldership. We have elders in our church. Brother Rick is one of our elders. Brother Soon is one of our elders. But only where the church is really numerous and the pastor needs his assistance in the work. In such cases, we can say the New Testament example favors it. So we don't have, for example, an assistant pastor in this church, an associate pastor in this church. Brother Rick probably is the closest thing to an assistant pastor in this church, and I appreciate his ministry in here. But that nevertheless tells us that there's going to be one that God is going to find accountable for. And looking over to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, "To he who is able to hear," and this is the Amplified version. The King James will say, "To he," did it change this time? There we go. It changed this time. It come up and said, "I can't change it." "To he who is able to hear," the King James says, "that he who has an ear, let him hear to what the Spirit says to the churches." And my question, of course, to you is going to be, do you have an ear that you can hear what God is talking to you about? Amen? And this is why prayer is important. And I know I made a mistake on the schedule. You probably noticed that last night's date didn't coincide with Saturday. It was supposed to be the 18th. And I had put prayer for last night accidentally on the schedule. Well, it would have been Friday night. So I apologize for those that were confused by that. I will be putting out the schedule next week for our coming month of prayer. But right now we've also changed prayer to 8 a.m. on Saturdays, except for the days that we have prayer at 8 p.m. But 3 weeks out of the month, it's going to be at 8 a.m. to give us a little bit more of a chance to rest. So if you're able to come pray, come pray. Just find your place. Pray, go home, do what you got to do, get on with your day. Amen? Amen. But in the Amplified, it says, "He who is able to hear." You see, not everybody is able to hear. Some people's minds are so clouded by the things of this world. They've got distractions. They can't get a hold of God because they never find that time of prayer. They never find that place where they can get down and get alone with God. They don't have that ability to hear. Wednesday night I was preaching, and I told you there's three kinds of people in this world. Can anybody remember from Thursday night what I told you those three kinds of people were? Those that make things happen. Those that watch what happened. What's the third one? Those that wonder what happened. Amen. Let me encourage you in 2014 to be one of those that makes things happen. Amen. Be one of those that makes things happen, not wonders what in the world is going on here. So he said, "He was able to hear, let him listen and give heed," to listen and pay attention and do what the Spirit is saying to the assemblies or the churches. "To him who overcomes, to him that is victorious, I will grant to eat of the fruit of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." What this points out to us is that the pastors are expected to pass the message to the church. Amen? I am expected that if God speaks to my mind, God speaks to my heart, I have got to have a prayer life. I have got to fast and seek the Lord. I have got to open the Word and read the Word and let God talk to me. And when God talks to me, I have to bring forth what the Spirit has said. If I don't bring forth what the Spirit has said, and the Spirit's not going to say anything contrary to the Word. Okay, it's not like some places have gone to such an extreme, they get a revelation out of this, and I've used this example before. I used to think my first pastor was pulling my leg back in the 1980s, early 1980, 1981, when he said that there was a group of people kept getting revelation of the name of Jesus, and they finally got the revelation of the name of Jesus. The way to be baptized was in the name of a native on of Odyssea with a bucket of rose petals over their head. And I thought, man, that's pretty far out. Yet, and I know I saved it on my computer somewhere, I read on the internet that there's a group of people, and you'll never guess in what state they're in. Anybody? The land of fruits and nuts, I call it. The left coast. And they do exactly that. They've got revelation after revelation, and they baptize people with rose petals and so on and so forth with that name. Well, you can't get a revelation that's not in the book. Amen? If you get a revelation, Brother Al, it's got to be in the book. You can't get outside of the book and say, God told you this. Because God is never going to tell you something that's not in the Word of God. If you've got a hold of a spirit that says, well, Jesus told me something different, you got a hold of the spirit of the devil, not the spirit of God. Come on, amen. So my responsibility is to preach to the church. And we find this in every example in the book of Revelations in chapter 2 and chapter 3. Everything the Lord says to the angel, to the messenger of the church, I want you to tell the church this. Amen. So it's an awesome, I'm not saying it's an awesome responsibility. It's kind of a scary responsibility for. I'm going to bring this to you. And in Ezekiel chapter 3, and again, I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version. Ezekiel chapter 3, and starting with the 17th to the 21st verse, it says, Son of man, I have made you a watchman over the house of Israel. And you can look in many commentaries, and they'll all say the same thing. This is a type of the pastor of the church. The pastor of the church is supposed to watch out for the flock. Amen? My responsibility, if you'll notice, we don't have people coming to fill this pulpit that are two bricks short of a full load. There's some people out there, they call themselves preachers. They will never come in this pulpit because they're not doctrinally sound. Come on, amen. And that's my job. My job is to weed out the wolves that would not spare the flock. And the scripture talks about that. We're going to find that as we go on. But he said, Son of man, I've made you a watchman over the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them what? Give them warning from me. Not only are we supposed to give the good things. And so many times we will hear people say, well, you know, they'll come to church and I just know that God wants to bless you and God wants to do that. It's always good. Sometimes you need to hear the warning from the Lord. Amen. When you hear a ministry that's all good, always good. That Bible talks about it. They say smooth things. They say good words and they deceive the hearts of the simple. You've got to have somebody that will stand up and say, thus saith the word of God. And if you have that, you need to appreciate that. Hallelujah. The 18th verse. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you do not give him warning. Now, this is the watchman. This is the type of the pastor. If you do not give him warning to speak and warn the wicked man to turn from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I'm going to require at your hand. If I've got, and the Lord gives me a message for somebody, if I do not preach that message, his blood is going to be on my hand. I don't want to go to judgment with blood on my hands. Come on, amen. It goes on and it tells us, yet if you warn the wicked, and he turns not from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he's still going to die. Right? He's still going to die. But what about you, preacher? You've delivered your soul. You may not listen to what I have to say. It doesn't mean anything in the sense if I've told you, if I've brought forth the word of God and you choose to disobey the word of God, I've delivered my soul. You're still going to perish. Come on, amen. That's what the word says. But this is not only for the sinner. Sometimes we'll say, man, come on, preach it. Come on and preach to the sinner. Look what he says in the next verse. If a righteous man turns from his righteousness, his right doing, his right standing with God, and some gift or providence which I lay before him, he perverts. I've seen it. I've seen people be gifted in the Spirit, gifted by God, and the gift becomes perverted. He perverts it into an occasion to sin, and he commits iniquity. And iniquity, if you understand the definition, there's sin and there's iniquity. Sin is the action. Iniquity is the spirit behind the action. Sin is the actual act. Iniquity inside of you is the thing that says, I want to sin. Is that clear? So you've got to get the spirit of iniquity out of yourself. You cannot subject yourself to the spirit of iniquity. But if he does that, if he perverts it into an occasion to sin, and he commits iniquity, the righteous man, what does it say? He's going to die. Because, Pastor, you've not given him warning. He shall die in his sins, and his righteous deeds which he hath done shall not be remembered. And his blood I'm going to require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. He listened to the warning. Also, you have delivered yourself from guilt. I don't want to be guilty in that day. Some of you may come to me one day and say, you didn't preach to me, but the Lord is going to remind you of the things that were spoken. Come on, amen. I've got to have the liberty to preach, and you've got to have the ears that will hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. This kind of preacher to make everybody shout, right? Hallelujah. As I said earlier, during the times of the apostles, the Christian faith had not yet splintered and fragmented like it is today. You can go out when I first got in church, I had a book, and it told about all the Christian denominations in the United States. And I believe at that time, that's 34 years ago, there were 365 denominations in the United States. I just read a statistic on how many Christian denominations that there are now. 20,700. What does that? What does that is when people say, you know what? You're not my flavor. I don't like what you do. You should do it this way. You bother me when you preach. You bother me with this. I don't believe that. It needs to be this way. Instead of saying, if this is what the Word of God says, I'm going to love the Word of God. We've got to have something inside of us that loves the preaching of the truth of the Word of God. Amen? Come on, somebody say amen. We've got to have something inside of us when that witness of the Holy Ghost comes in and says, this is what the Word of the Lord says, that you'll stand up and shout and say, come on, preacher, preach the Word. Paul went ahead. He said it was going to be after the time of his death. He said, take care and be on guard for yourselves and the whole flock to which the Holy Ghost has appointed you bishops and guardians. Who is he talking to here? He's talking to the preachers. They're the ones that he has made a bishop. They're the ones that he has made a guardian. My job is to watch. My job is to protect the church. Somebody needs to say amen. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, how come you don't have this? There's a reason. If you want to ask me, you can ask me. But I promise you, every time I have something or I don't have something, there's a reason why I do or I do not. I'm not saying I'm foolproof, but if there's any question in my mind, they're not going to be preaching from this pulpit. You are the ones that shepherd, that tend and feed and guide the church of the Lord or of God, which he has obtained for himself, buying it and saving it for himself with his own blood. What? God saved itself? How did that happen? When the Bible says God was manifest in the flesh, in the form of Jesus Christ. Amen. Purchasing the church with his own blood. And here he goes and he says, I know, and now I'm not uncertain. And we can see by his writing that he was anointed by the Holy Ghost, because we find in the first century that things began, false doctrines began to come in. It was some months ago I preached to you a message about Simon Magus or Simon the Sorcerer. And history tells us that he is the source of all heresies. That's a guy that got in the 8th chapter of Acts. It says he became a believer. He got baptized. And when he saw the miracles start to happen, he got a hold of the apostles and said, Get, I'm going to give you some money, and I want to buy the power that you got. You know what happened to Simon? He got his eyes on the miracle instead of the God of the miracle. Amen? You don't get your eyes on miracles. You get your eyes on the God of the miracles, because we're not the ones that have the power. We're not the ones that have the anointing. It's the Holy Ghost that gives us the anointing. It's the Holy Ghost that gives us the power. I cannot get my eyes upon miracles, but if I get my eyes upon the Lord, then miracles are going to happen. We've seen these things in this church. We've seen people healed. We've seen people set straight. We've seen things happen. Amen. Why is that? Because my eyes are not on the miracle. My eye is on the God of the miracle. I know that after I'm gone, ferocious wolves are going to get in among you and not spare the flock. He said this was going to happen. And notice what he says in the next verse. He says, even from your own self, men will come to the front. What does that mean? Can anybody explain to me where the apostasy comes from? Anybody? Brother Tayo, where does the Bible say apostasy is going to come from? From within the church. Doesn't say it's going to come from outside the church. Notice what it says. Even from among your own self. He's talking to preachers here. He's saying, preachers, from your own selves, there's some of you who are going to rise and you're going to pervert the truth. Isn't that what he's saying? Come on, think about it. Who by saying perverse, and but it doesn't mean a sexual connotation here. It means to change it. That's why if you read Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 8, it talks about there would be some of those that would pervert the gospel. They would change the gospel into something it's not. They will endeavor to draw away disciples after them. Notice the terminology the Amplified used. I think it's pretty cool. To their own party. To their own party. So verse 30 lets us know that wolves will enter from inside the church. They will draw disciples after themselves. And which brings us to the next scripture we're going to read, which is going to be the book of Jude. Let me tell you something about the book of Jude. It's only one chapter long. But as Acts is referred to as the Acts of the Apostles, we can view Jude, the entire book of Jude, as the Acts of the Apostates. Does everybody understand what an apostate is? An apostate is someone that has deviated from preaching the truth of the Word of God. That is the definition, in a nutshell, of an apostate. We're going to start out at the third verse. Beloved, my whole concern was to write to you in regard of our common salvation. But I found it necessary, and I was impelled to write and to urgently appeal to and exhort you to contend for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. Apparently, even by the time of Jude, I'm not sure what the timing of. I know the book of Revelations was written in about 96 AD when the Apostle John was in his 90s. I believe Peter had already been crucified upside down, tradition says. And we know from the prophecy that Peter said, I know that after I die, there's going to be wolves that are going to come in. We live in a dangerous time doctrinally. Amen. There are wolves, not in this church, but there are wolves in the church. Amen. 2014 is going to be a year when some succumb, and I hope it's nobody in here, to false prophecies, to false prophets, to false teachings. Because the Bible says that there's going to be a great falling away in the end time. But the good news is that even though some may fall away, there can still be a church that has revival. And if I have anything to do with it, this church is not going to fall away, but this church is going to have a move of God. Come on, amen. It was urgent that I would tell you to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, as the King James says. Today, the faith that was delivered to the apostles or by the apostles is rarely seen, but men have preached things contrary to the word. And the scripture says, by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. The Bible tells us to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. The way you try the spirits is you try them against the word of God. If somebody's preaching something that's not in the word of God, you need to run. You need to find yourself a place where they're preaching the truth that's in the word of God. Forget about the crowd. Forget about what's happening. You've got to have truth because you want to be saved for yourself. For certain men have crept in unawares. Brother Rick, would you grab me a bottle of water, please? Have crept in steadily, gaining entrance secretly by the door. Their doom was predicted a long time ago. Ungodly, impious, profane. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. We can be easy to fool. Sometimes if somebody comes in and they have a nice suit, and they have a nice speech, and they have a nice demeanor, you say, oh, isn't that a wonderful man of God? We should have a nice dress nice. A preacher should dress decent. I think I look all right today. Do I look all right? I got a couple of nods. You know what the cool thing was? I dressed myself this morning. This is my water from last week, so... My wife came in this morning, and she says, oh, you look nice. I said, I can tell everybody I dressed myself today. Sometimes I wear stuff, and she says, you're not going to wear that tie with that jacket. I'm like, why not? I know none of you ladies do that to your husbands. None of you ladies look at your husband and say, you ain't going out of the house like that. So I did a good job today. My wife will tell you I did a good job today. So... while we need to look nice and we need to present a nice demeanor, there's a witness of the Holy Ghost that you're going to have to a ministry. If there's something inside of you that says, I've got a check in my spirit, something's not right. The Bible talks about 9 gifts. One of the gifts of the Spirit is the gift of discernment. Sometimes the Holy Ghost will tell you there's something not quite right there. You may not see anything. You may not know anything. But the Holy Ghost, I'll give you a great example. It was 1984, I believe, that I went to a rally up in Yonkers, New York. Church was a little bit smaller than this. There was standing room only. They had a guy get up and preach. And he had everybody shouting. They were praising God. They were doing this. They were doing that. And I told my wife, this guy's making me sick to my stomach. Let's get out of here. And we walked out of that church. I didn't know why. My presbyter was like, why did you leave? I said, because something made me sick to my stomach. My presbyter back then was Brother Votaw, who's the missionary to China now that's been here before. I used to be Brother Votaw's assistant pastor many years ago. And it came to pass about 2 weeks later, I got a call, I believe it was from my presbyter. He said, you would never believe what we found out. He said, the man traveled up here and the woman with him was not his wife. The woman with him was his girlfriend. Well, there's one thing about God. You don't play those games with God. If you're married, you don't fool around. Let me say it again. If you're married, you don't fool around. Amen? God takes marriage very, very seriously. The scripture talks about doing the wife of your youth wrong and how God is going to judge you for that. So there was something in my spirit that rose up and made me sick. And that was the Holy Ghost. That was when I was learning a lot of stuff. Now I understand if something's in there. I may not see the reason, but I know the Holy Ghost today. And when the Holy Ghost begins to talk with me and say something's not right, I know I may not say anything unless it's in our church. But I'll watch. Because I've seen it come time and time again. I've seen things come to pass. Because the Holy Ghost will give you warning. You need to listen to the Holy Ghost that's inside of you. Sometimes He will tell you, you're headed the wrong direction. You're doing the wrong thing. And you'll feel that warning from God. You'll feel that discernment of the Spirit. You need to listen to the Holy Ghost. You need to listen to the Spirit of God that's inside of you. They were going to pervert the grace. I've got a message that I preached that might be there in the back, and it may be all gone out on something about understanding grace, spiritual blessings and favor of our God into lawlessness and wantonness and immorality. Don't you sit there and tell me that God loves us so much that you can be immoral. Come on. That's the acts of the apostates. A person that does that has apostatized. Or they've never known the truth at all. When a person that's known the truth and goes into apostasy, it's very difficult for them ever to come back. A person that has only learned apostasy, never knowing the truth, they can leave that. If they'll have ears to hear and a mind to understand. If they'll listen to what the voice is saying, the voice of the Lord is saying to the churches. They disown and deny our soul master and Lord, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. By the time of this warning, remember Acts 20:29? I know that after I'm gone, ferocious wolves are going to get in into the church. It's yelling at me again. It's saying that it's not wanting to change. Did we change that time? No, we didn't change that time. Hallelujah. There we go. Technology. You got to love it when it works and be frustrated with it when it doesn't. Amen. I know that when I'm gone, ferocious wolves are going to get in. And they're going to spare not the flock. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. Somebody worship the Lord here. I'm going to bump this thing and restart it here. Hallelujah. I think the Lord gave me something today, and I'm going to finish that. So, that's the thing with technology. Sometimes you just got to get out of it and do it again. If it'll want to work. Maybe, Brother Tayo, you can go back there. Just advance to the next slide. It's not wanting to do anything. Now, I want to remind you, though you were fully informed once and for all, that though the Lord at one time delivered a people out of the land of Egypt, He subsequently did what? He destroyed some folks. He destroyed some folks. Why? Because they just simply refused to believe. They refused to adhere to trust in, to rely upon the Lord. Amen. Next slide, please. Remember James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds. Don't tell me you're a Christian and you don't do the works of a Christian. You got to understand, the Bible tells us, by grace are we saved by faith, that not of works. We don't do works because we're saved. We do to be saved, excuse me. We do things because we're saved. That's when the Holy Ghost talks to you and says, you need to do this, Brother Al. Brother Al's been having some experiences, and the Lord's been telling him to go see some people, to give them a message, to talk to them. Those are deeds. Those are works of the Holy Ghost inside of us. Sometimes the Lord will say, you know what? You need to separate yourself from this. You need to change this. You need to change that. You need to listen to the Holy Ghost. Faith without works. Faith that just says, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, I'm a believer, hallelujah, and doesn't have anything to back it up, is dead. Next slide, please. And angels who did not keep, they didn't care and guard and hold on to their own first place of power, but abandoned their proper dwelling place. These has He reserved in custody in eternal chains, bonds under the thick gloom of utter darkness until the judgment and doom of the great day. The Bible tells us that God did not spare the angels that fell. What started the falling of the angels? The falling of the angels started because Lucifer said in his heart, he said, I will ascend on high. I'm going to be like God. What began to happen to Lucifer, he said he began to have a haughty spirit. I don't know if you understand what a haughty spirit is. That's when you go and talk to somebody. You don't know what you're talking about. And it graduates to pride. The scripture says a haughty spirit comes before a fall, but pride comes before a destruction. Don't sit there. If you've got a spirit full of pride, pride will keep people out of heaven. Pride is going to cause people to be lost because they cannot break their pride and get a hold of God. They cannot break their pride and say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus to change my life. I need my life to turn around. They can't find an altar. They can't find that place. They rise up against it and say, I know better. This is not what I need. You need God. The next slide. Hallelujah. It's possible even for us not to keep, to care, to guard, to hold on to our own first place of power, but abandon our proper dwelling place with the Lord. Hey, I finally can see something here. I'm going to let you keep doing it, but now I can see what's on there without having to turn around all the time, I don't think. That drives me a little crazy sometimes. Let me see where I am. Hallelujah. Praise God. I had a lot of slides today. That's why I was going to try to do this with the controller. The Lord just gave me some stuff. We're going to continue next week talking about some of the specifics. He goes on. In the next slide, he says, the wicked are sentenced to suffer just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the adjacent towns likewise gave themselves over to impurity and indulge in unnatural vice and sensual perversity and are laid out in plain sight as an exhibit of perpetual judge punishment to warn of everlasting fire. I don't care what society does. I don't care what society says is legal. If it's against the Word of God, it's against the Word of God. Don't get caught up in it. I don't care if society lives together, never gets married. The word of the Lord says that if you do not get married, that you're either in fornication or adultery. You're in sin. I don't care what society says. I care what God says. Amen. I don't care if society says it's all right for Adam to marry Steve instead of Adam to marry Eve. Doesn't matter what society says. I'll not do a single wedding ever again than do that kind of wedding. Not going to happen on my watch. One day I may end up in jail for it. I guess I'll just have to end up in jail for it. But there's some things that are an abomination before the Lord that we cannot accept into our Christian walk. Amen. He put these things. He put Sodom and Gomorrah as an example of eternal judgment. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, in like manner, in the next verse, These dreamers also corrupt the body, scorn and reject authority and government, and revile and libel and scoff at heavenly glories and glorious ones. Oh, your pastor preaches that. Man, well, he is so dumb. We moved up into the... We're in 2014 now. Don't he know that people do what they want to do? You can't preach against sin like that anymore. I better preach what God has given to me. Otherwise, the blood is going to be on my hands. The ninth verse, even when the archangel Michael contended with the devil, judiciously argued and disputed about the body of Moses, that's a whole other issue here. He dared not to presume and to bring abusive condemnation against even the devil, but simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these men revile, they scoff and sneer at anything they do not happen to be acquainted with and do not understand. And whether they do not understand physically that which they know by mere instinct, like irrational beasts, they corrupt themselves and are destroyed, they perish. And woe unto them, for they have run riotously in the way of Cain. I don't know if you understand. I preached a message many, many years ago. It was the day after my mother-in-law's funeral. And the message is called the Religion of Cain. Cain is the first example of somebody that knew what God wanted and said, "I'm not going to give God what he wants. I'm going to give God what I want." That's the religion of Cain. Still remember, powerful move of the Holy Ghost that day. We had a family revival, I think three or four. My mother-in-law's grandkids prayed through the Holy Ghost today. A couple of them have backslid. Some are still living for God. Hallelujah. Amen. You're not once saved, always saved. You've got to earnestly contend. You've got to endure, the Scripture says, to the end. If you do not endure, if you do not care for your spirit, if you do not care for your soul, you're going to be lost. Amen. What happens if I don't care for the body? You may not think I care for my body, but if I didn't care for my body, I'd be a lot heavier than I am. If you don't care for your body, you get physical problems. If you don't care for your spirit, you get spiritual problems. Amen. It's either amen or oh my. Next verse, verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have run riotously in the way of Cain and have abandoned themselves for the sake of gain. It offers them following the error of Balaam and have perished in the rebellion like that of Korah. Korah's sin is in the next scripture summed up in Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, which says, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and On, son of Peleth, and the sons of Reuben, took men." You see what's happening here? Korah was not satisfied to just go to Moses. He had to get himself a group. He had to get himself somebody to stand behind him because he wasn't man enough to stand up to the man of God. And they rose up, verse 2, before Moses and certain of the Israelites, 250 leaders, princes and leaders of the congregation, called in the assembly, men of known and of distinction. Again, notice he didn't act alone. Verse 3, "And they gathered together against Moses and Aaron, said unto them, Enough of you! You take too much upon yourselves, seeing that all the congregation is holy. Every one of them, who do you think you're saying you're a man of God? Who do you think that you're saying you're who you are? Who do you think? We're all holy. We're all righteous." That spirit still lives today. It still lives today. They fail to understand that there is one God called leadership, just as we saw the example in Revelations chapter 2 and chapter 3 about the angel of the church. Not the angels, but the angel of the church. The messenger of the church. And they allowed one man to stir them up. But let's go back to Jude in verse 12. I don't know if you're catching up with me or not, but go a couple of slides ahead. "These are hidden reefs, element of danger. In your love feasts, when they boldly feast sumptuously, carousing together in your midst without scruples, providing for themselves alone, their clouds without water. swept along by the winds, trees. If you see somebody like this, they're not going to have the blessing of God. They're going to be clouds without water. Yeah, they may talk, they may have a little thunder, but you know what? There's no rain that comes down. Somebody, get my wife, please, tell her to come out. Wild, in verse 13, wild waves of the sea, flinging up foam of their own shame and disgrace. Wandering stars, for whom the gloom of eternal darkness has been reserved forever. 14th verse. It was of these people, moreover, that Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied when he said, "Behold, the Lord comes with his myriads of holy ones, 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all and to convict all." Do you see what's saying here? Those clouds without rain, those spirits of Korah, those people that rebel against the word of God, they're not going to be in, they're going to be ruled over. They're going to be judged. Are you catching that? Amen. I'm going to go all the way, Brother Tile, down to the about the fourth from the end. It says, guard and keep yourself. Guard and keep your spirit right in the sight of God. Amen. Remember the admonition to the watchman in Ezekiel chapter 3 when he said, again, if a righteous man turns from his righteousness and you don't warn him, his blood is going to be on your hands. I can only preach to you today. Let's all stand. I can only preach to you today. You've got to save yourself by having faith in the Word, confidence in the man of God that God gave to this church. Peter started preaching this on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, Peter solemnly and earnestly witnessed and testified and admonished and with much more contentious speaking and warned. And he said, save yourself from this untoward generation. Be saved from this crooked, this perverse, this wicked, this unjust generation. I cannot save you. That's between, all I can do is preach the word. It's all I can do is preach the word. You're going to have to save yourself. You're going to have an experience with God. Remember, the warning, the message to the seven churches is culminated in the similar warning. He that has ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. How's your hearing today? How's your hearing today? Can you hear the voice of God today? You don't have to be afraid of the voice of God. Why don't you just bow your head for just a moment? Just let the Holy Ghost talk. Message to the church. Yourself around the front.